And we are joined in our studio now by the Minister for Climate, Environment, Energy and Transport, Dara O'Brien. And you're here to discuss plans in your own department mm-hmm. around the Dublin Airport cap and energy prices and so on. And we'll get to those in a moment. Sure. But can I ask you about Donald Trump's announcement and plans for a 30% tariff in just under 3 weeks' time? Are we headed now for a full-blown trade war with the EU between the EU and the United States?
Well, look, we sincerely hope not. I think the Taoiseach has been very clear as well in really setting out that we want respectful dialogue to continue. There is still time in this space. The EU and the US enjoy the biggest economic relationship. It's good for both blocks. It's good for the EU. It's good for the US. And as Danny has very clearly said, tariffs are good for no one. So I think our focus with our European Union colleagues now is to continue those negotiations, to get a conclusion to them in advance of the 1st of August. Obviously, the statement issued by the US administration and President Trump in particular is one that leads us to be greatly concerned, no question. But I think my understanding, as the Taoiseach has outlined, that the negotiations heretofore have been carried out in a very respectful way, in a business-like way. And I still believe we need to use the time between now and the 1st of August to conclude a deal that is good for both the European Union and the United States.
But with all of this uncertainty going on, is it going to tie the hands of the government and lead to a more conservative and a more restrictive budget?
Well, look, budget preparation is underway. I think what we're trying to conclude now at the moment over the course of this week coming and the week after is the National Development Plan review, which is critically important about the additional investment we will have between now and the end of the decade in across
but
all government departments.
This all impacts on that, doesn't it?
I think as Danny rightly said, the uncertainty that the last number of months have created across the European Union and indeed the United States is not good for the economy. And particularly in relation to decisions that would have been made particularly from the private sector in relation to investment and new investment, that in many areas has been paused. Not completely, I might add, but really, I think we don't want to catastrophise the situation either. This may be a negotiation.
But should people, though, be preparing for perhaps a less generous, a more conservative, a more restrictive budget?
Well, we've outlined from the very start, actually during the general election campaign, my party leader and the Taoiseach was very clear to say that obviously any budgets we bring forward are fully mindful of the economic situation at the time. But really our focus as a government between the Taoiseach and Taoiseach and all of my colleagues is working with our European Union partners to conclude an arrangement that can allow us to continue to trade. Look, tariffs are good for no one. And obviously the trading situation that we have right now prior to the new administration has been advantageous for both. It allows US companies access their biggest market in the European Union. FDI from the United States is very important for us. But I would just put this point, if I may. The Irish economy and the Irish people were very resilient post-Brexit as well. There were many concerns, and rightly outlined at the time, about the impact that would have on businesses, and we managed our way through it. And working together, I believe we will manage our way through this also.
All right. I want to move on and ask you about the passenger cap at Dublin Airport, which limits the number of passengers to 32 million a year. It's currently suspended because there's an ongoing High Court challenge. And today, the Business Post newspaper said that the US Department of Transport has said that it wanted a solution to increase or eliminate that cap. And that follows on from a warning coming from Airlines for America, the trade association for US airlines, which said that the US could limit the number of flights coming from Ireland into the US in retaliation for that passenger cap at Dublin Airport. So there is that court action going on. Mm-hmm. That might go on possibly for a number of months, possibly into next year if there are further challenges. Are you going to take action yourself to lift that passenger cap at Dublin Airport?
Well, I think, look, the programme for government is really clear here. It was part of the negotiating team is that we want to work with stakeholders to remove the passenger cap. Firstly, if I could say, we want to grow all our airports and we want to grow Dublin. As you rightly said, the cap is stayed for this year and more than likely most of next. And we're looking at options right now as to how that cap can be lifted. The projection for passenger numbers in Dublin Airport is probably for this year about 36 million to 38 million. It's a very successful airport. It's the fifth best connected in the European Union and is a really important bridge from the United States into Europe and beyond.
And we know that. But what are you going to do about it then? It's in the programme for government that cap should go. How are you going to remove it?
Well, there's two things. There's a very important decision due imminently with regard to the night flights, which is just as critical. And we're expecting a decision from Uncommissioned Planála imminently. And I think that will be very important. Will lead us to pave the way forward in relation to dealing with the overall issue. I have received options. I've sought options from the Attorney General's office with regard to a legislative approach. And I'm looking at them. What I've also asked...
And can you, just on that, can you legislate then to get rid of that cap?
Well, I think, look, there's options that have been set out that I'm assessing, and I'm not being evasive, Justin. I just I need time to go through them.
Are they constitutional?
Well, not constitutional. They would be primary. They would be changes that could potentially be made in primary legislation, none of which are without risk, by the way. So what I've asked of DAA right now is there is a stay to engage and continue to engage with the planning authority. They've two very significant applications, and actually three. They've the two in relation to the cap and one an infrastructural application, which has to be dealt with. That's about growing the airport, its campus itself, and dealing with that. We have a second runway there as well that is not fully operational yet that will allow us to grow the airport further. 3% of our GDP comes out of the Dublin Airport campus. 25,000 there or thereabouts direct jobs, 120,000 plus indirect jobs. It's a critical piece of infrastructure for this country. So yes, to answer your question, we want the cap addressed. We're working towards measures to do that. In the meantime, though, it's very important, and I think that people understand, is that this issue of the cap through planning could have been dealt with since 2008, 2009. There were 10 years that the Airport Authority did not deal with it. At least 10 years. Okay, in the 2018 application, they withdrew.
But you're the minister now that has to deal with it.
And I will deal with it.
You will deal with it. When?
Well, once I've concluded assessing the options that are there and picking the most optimum one, I'm also awaiting the decision on the night flights. And why is that important? Because that will detail what the operational hours for the airport are, whether there's an extension to those hours in the morning and at night time, and how the movements of night flights will be operate during the night. That's critically important. Okay. Like I've met, just if I could say
and,
this.
And that decision is due, I think, probably Monday or Tuesday.
Yes, hopefully next week. And we'll assess that immediately as a matter of urgency. I'm hoping that will be a positive decision. I've met all the stakeholders in this. I've met residence groups. I've met the airlines. I've met Airports for America. I have met the Dublin Airport Authority. We're also seeing, as we're doing this, it's other airports in this country are growing. Shannon's growth figures, Cork's are impressive. But Dublin needs to be dealt with. We should not have, in my view, an arbitrary cap on the growth of the airport. But it needs to grow in a sustainable way. And I've said that directly to the Chief Executive and Board of Dublin Airport Authority, respectful to its neighbours also.
Will you deal with this before the end of the court case that's ongoing at the moment? Are you going to legislate in tandem while that court case is ongoing, or are you going to wait for the outcome of that court case before you make decisions?
I think the first thing I want to see is next week the decision on the night flights. That's really important. The ECJ case that's there, which is the High Court challenge gone to the ECJ, I doubt will be heard and will be concluded this year. So there is time to deal with this. But having said that, airlines, particularly transatlantic and international airlines, need to make plans for their routes 27, 28, particularly new routes. Like there is a lot of interest from India, a lot of interest from Brazil and other countries.
I'm still not clear, though, as to when you actually intend to intervene yourself and take action.
Well, I think I've been very clear. If I could say, well, let me just reiterate.
Don't reiterate. Okay. But you've said you're waiting for the night flights.
I am, which will be next week.
I'm not clear though whether you're going to act before the end of the current the legal challenge that's currently before the courts. Are you going to act in?
That would be my intention. Okay. Absolutely. But just to be clear, it is the night flights decision is very important. Mm. Okay, because I don't know what that decision is. Does that have to be dealt with? If it's a positive decision, great. Okay. If it's not, we'd have to look at it. So I think it's fair for me to be able to say I need to assess that, because when I met the airlines and indeed investors, the two issues are interlinked and they're both very important. So I can't deal with one in isolation. But to answer your question directly, yes, I intend to deal with this in advance of the ECJ case decision being made on that. Okay. But we do have time. And in fairness, legislative proposals in this regard are not without risk. Like there are existing planning applications that are open that are there right now. I'm a former planning minister.
And
I understand.
And the risk being a potential challenge to it. Is that
Of course. But I think most people understand as well the importance of our airports, all of them, particularly Dublin Airport, and that it's a driver for economic growth in our country.
And you have outlined that. And that is clear to people.
Yes.
I do want to move on and ask you about energy bills.
Yes.
Last winter, the government gave households two energy credits worth a total of €250,000. There's not going to be a cost of living package in October's budget. So does that mean there will be no assistance for people with their energy bills this coming winter?
It does not. We provide assistance to tens of thousands of households all over the country already. I think I've established a energy affordability task force within my department that I chair myself, and we'll be bringing forward an interim report on that and measures that we might be able to take in advance of the budget.
When, in advance.
The budget's okay. October, so it'll be in advance of that. And it will actually assist us in our discussions on the budget. We've also got to continue to ensure that we continue to accelerate retrofitting of both private and public homes to reduce energy bills that way as well. We've taken measures in relation to VAT, so to put a specific point, the reduction in VAT from 13 to 9% for electricity, I want to see that continue. And that has been a significant support as well. We've also seen the PSO through the Commission for Regulation of Utilities reduced by 40% this year just in the last month. But Ireland is about the eighth or ninth most expensive country in relation to energy. And that is a matter that needs to be grappled with. I was at a European Council meeting just 2 weeks ago in Luxembourg, or 3 weeks ago, where this whole issue of energy cost affordability and energy security is critical within that. So we're advancing our renewables. Last year, 40% of our electricity was generated through renewable energy. So we've got to continue to reduce our dependence on fossil. And that will help in the medium to long term.
Okay. You mentioned, though, in the short term that you have established this energy affordability task force, and the remit of that, or part of the remit, is to draft an interim plan to identify short-term measures to support energy customers in advance of budget 2026. Does that mean then that there will be some new additional measures in budget 2026 which will reduce energy bills for people?
I think, Justin, I'm chairing that task force and I'm part of it. Okay, we've stakeholders from across the state on that, and we're looking at all measures. So I'll wait to get the interim report, which I'll be involved in.
Is that the intention, though? That
the intention would be to look at it. Absolutely, the intention why I establish it is how we can reduce the costs of energy to households and to businesses. Some measures may be able to be taken in the short term. I don't know that yet. But we've also got to look at the structure of our energy costs. And we've also got to ensure that we continue to invest in our grid. So very shortly, we will have the next grid investment between now and the end of 2030, which will be multiples of the previous one, because we need to enhance our grid, both from a resilience perspective and from an energy generation perspective. That's where the goal it really is in the medium term, is more renewables on our grid, expanding our grid onshore and indeed offshore. And that will help all consumers and will secure our own energy for our own country.
When will the National Development Plan be published?
We're expecting to conclude that work by the end of July.
By the end of July. So is it likely to be published the week after next then?
That's what we're working towards. Okay. Minister Chambers and all government colleagues have been working very hard on that, and we're in negotiations right now that have been very positive and constructive. And I think that the plan is to conclude it by the end of July.
Okay.
That's where we're at right now.
And there are a lot of demands on your department for infrastructure projects related to transport, related to energy and so on. On the issue of transport, up to this point, there was a 2-to-1 split of spending 2-to-1 in favour of public transport over roads. That was put in place when the Green Party ran your department. Is that going to be gone now?
That's not part of the programme for government. But what is our commitment to expanding public transport.
So can just to be clear, you say it's not part of the programme for government.
So
there won't be a 2-to-1 split of public transport to roads.
But there will be much more investment in public transport than we've seen heretofore. And I tell you why. Because we've some significant projects that have come through planning. Bus connects, for argument's sake, across all our cities. 12 of those are now through on commission in Planola. 5 of them are unencumbered, so no JORs. We're actually going to be able to start construction on the first of those this year. And then we're looking at a decision on Metrolink, which I expect over the summer months, that will allow us to move to procurement, to tendering and procurement on that project too.
What will the ratio, the split then be, if it's not 2-to-1?
Well, once we conclude our NDP review, Which will be published, and then each department then in that stage will have its capital envelope between now and the end of the decade, and then we will after that then publish what the split is between. But my focus is very much on public transport. We have an infrastructural deficit in that regard right the way across our country. But to be fair,
proportionally now, what you're saying today is that you'll be spending less of your budget on public transport in terms of a proportion of the overall envelope than your predecessor.
I didn't say that because I don't have the overall envelope yet. Okay, I think if
the 2-to-1 split is gone, then you're going to be spending more on roads than you did previously, no, proportionally.
We had a €72 million increase in roads funding for 2025, and I don't think any of your listeners would argue that was not welcome. We have work to do on roads too. My big focus, though, as a minister, is expanding our public transport network for the good of all of our citizens across the country and indeed across the island. So there's a lot of work happening there. I would be very much expect that there will be substantially more spent over this 5-year period because of the weight of these large capital projects on the public transport side, that we will spend more, much more on public transport than we'll spend on roads. But we need to increase funding to both. That's what I intend to do.
Before I let you go, you are the Minister for Transport. You've been talking about roads there. And there have been calls in the Oireachtas from some of your Oireachtas colleagues from other parties and indeed some of your colleagues in government for the toll barriers to be open next weekend as tens of thousands of people from Cork and Tipperary make their way up to Dublin to spend their hard-earned cash in the capital for the All-Ireland Hurling Final. As Minister for Transport, wouldn't it be an act of goodwill to those people if you opened the toll barriers and let them on their way?
Well, I would, and I know it's going to be a magnificent game. From watching both semi-finals, I think this is a match that all of us are looking forward to. Lots and lots of our colleagues from Cork and from Tipperary are going to be travelling up by public transport. I don't control the toll barriers but at all. I don't expect them, to be honest, to be lifted.
Is there nothing you can do for them?
Well, what we can do is, what we will do is be laying on more much more and additional services for that weekend of public transport. And obviously to wish the supporters and the teams of both counties the best of luck next weekend.
All right, but they'll have to pay the toll. Minister for Climate, Environment, Energy and Transport, Dara O'Brien, thank you very much
You're very
for
welcome
coming to speak with us today. Back with more after this.